Medea Benjamin is one of our greatest living examples of how to speak truth to power.
Why are you lying to the American people and not saying how many innocents have been killed?
Thank you, ma'am, for expressing.
The founder of Code Pink and Global Exchange, she speaks for the victims of U.S. unmanned killer drone attacks.
These programs are oftentimes in the hands of the CIA, a very secretive organization, so the American people don't know how many civilians are being killed.
And watch out, says Medea Benjamin. The drones aren't stopping in the Middle East. They've come home to roost.
We will potentially see tens of thousands of drones, and unfortunately, most of them might be used to surveil all kinds of people. If you're worried about what we have now, you should be really terrified of what is in the works.
Join me, your host, Daniel Kerbine, Wednesday, May 9th, 4 to 6 p.m., where my guest will be Medea Benjamin, author of Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control. That's Shift Shapers, 4 to 6 p.m. Wednesday, here on KBBF FM 89.1, Calistoga, Santa Rosa, the East Bay, and the North Bay. You are listening to Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio here on KBBF FM 89.1. And I have here on the phone with me Medea Benjamin. And for those of you who do not know who Medea Benjamin is, she is a founder of Global Exchange and Code Pink and has been following and really jumping into the forefront of bringing awareness to the issue of unmanned killer drones. She is the author of the book, the new book, Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, and also the organizer of a very recent, in fact, last weekend, drone summit on killing and spying by remote control, which was held in Washington, D.C. Medea Benjamin, thank you for joining us here on Shift Shapers.
Thank you for having me on.
And I am just wondering here, we think of Al-Qaeda and terrorists being taken out by drone missiles, and we start hearing this in the last maybe 2-3 years. But there's a history to this, isn't there? And another piece of the question is, how long have you been on the forefront of following this issue and looking at where it's going in terms of unmanned drones?
I got concerned about this issue right after 9/11, when the U.S. invaded Afghanistan, and what we were seeing on our television screens were these very high-tech weapons and taking off from ships and airplanes, and we were told that we were now in the age of precision munitions and that we didn't have to worry about things like civilian casualties because our weapons were smart, our bombs were smart. And I'm a human rights advocate, and I have learned over the years not to trust everything my government says. So I went to the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan and then into Afghanistan shortly after the U.S. invaded and realized that there were lots of civilian casualties, that these supposedly precise weapons were killing a lot of innocent people. And so I followed this issue over the years and realized that the drones, the unmanned aerial vehicles, while they had been used decades earlier and experimented with particularly for surveillance purposes, they were now becoming the weapon of choice. And since 9/11, in these intervening 10 years, the Pentagon has gone from having maybe 10 drones to now over 7,000. And the CIA has its own fleet of drones, and the Border Patrol in the U.S. has a fleet of drones. So these are now for spying and killing the new way of the new technology. And the Obama administration has really embraced this technology.
So essentially what we're looking at is a spy camera that can shoot you and kill you. And that's a blow-up building.
Well, that's right. And we're looking at pilots who are not in the plane but are in Air Force bases or CIA bases, sometimes 10,000 miles away from where they are actually doing the spying and the killing.
That's one of the amazing parts of it, by the way. That really is, because when I think about a generation that's been brought up on video games and everything being distant, I mean, you're not seeing anything. And yet the whole thing that came together for you was a process of tearing away the veil, where instead of just accepting what television and the Washington, D.C. news were telling you, you went out to where these events are happening to actually see what was taking place. And you tore away the veil in the most effective sort of way.
Yes, that's right. And I've been following the last 10 years how we have not been able to defeat the Taliban or Al-Qaeda with our high-tech weapons. And then the spillover of the fighting in Afghanistan has gone into Pakistan, where there have been probably, I think, about 322 drone strikes by now, most of them under the Obama administration. And your listeners should realize that the places where we're using drones are not just where we're at war, like Afghanistan, but where we're supposedly not at war, like Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia. And these programs are oftentimes in the hands of the CIA, a very secretive organization. So the American people don't know what's being done, don't know how many civilians are being killed, don't know that this drone technology is making it easier for our government to take us into warlike situations without Congress even discussing it, and certainly not the American people. The Obama administration has said that if American lives are not at risk, it's not a war, and therefore they don't have to even go to Congress. That was the excuse given for not going to Congress, for example, in the case of U.S. drone strikes in Libya.
So the big distinction is whether you have boots on the ground or not. That makes all the difference in the world. If you don't have boots on the ground.
Well, it's not just boots on the ground. It's also, do you have a pilot in the cockpit? Because if you have a pilot, the plane could be shot down, it could crash, the pilot could die. But if there's no pilot in the cockpit, then there's no American lives at risk.
And that, of course, that has been a tradition in the CIA and spying of pretty much all countries, is plausible deniability.
Yes, right.
It happened, but you didn't see us.
Exactly. You don't have somebody who could be captured, spill the beans. But plausible deniability doesn't work when these planes crash all the time, which they do. For example, you might remember the very sophisticated spy plan that was downed recently in Iran.
Right.
And the Iranians put it on display for the whole world to see and say, hey, you know, we hacked into this. Now we have it and we're going to copy it. And they recently, just last week, came out and said, we've already copied this. Very sophisticated spy plane. Now, would they be using it to fly over the United States? I doubt it, because, well, the U.S. does this to other countries. If other countries do it to us, that would be, I think, a reason for the U.S. military to wage war.
Now, the justification for these strikes, for instance, in Pakistan, is it all about that? The only one I've ever heard is that they're tracking down Al-Qaeda suspects, that they're tracking down terrorists. Even the United States citizen who was without trial or without any kind of charges, just blown away by a drone, that still the justification had to do with terrorism.
Well, that's right, but how are we to know, and do we trust our government? Look at all the people who were sent to Guantanamo, who we were told were the worst of the worst, and it turns out that hundreds of them were innocent people. It's even worse in the case of drone strikes, because there's two things going on. There's a hit list where they have people's names and said, we're going to go after so-and-so, but out of maybe over 3,000 people that have been killed by drone strikes in Pakistan, only 170 of them have been named. So who are the rest of these people? According to some of the best journalists, a lot of them have been civilians, including women and children. In fact, they have tracked down the killing of 174 children so far. Again, this is just in Pakistan with our drone strikes.
Wow. Talk about the untold story.
Well, that's right. It's the untold story, but unfortunately, you know, it's a story that our media isn't getting out to the American people, and when they do, it's only about the high-level target that was killed. So the American people think, aha, these drone strikes are doing good. They're killing Al-Qaeda. They're killing high-level Taliban. They're making us safe. When the truth of the matter is, they're killing a lot of innocent people, low-level Taliban, and they're turning a lot of people against the United States. So we are creating more hatred through these drone strikes and, unfortunately, just perpetuating the cycle of violence.
So who is it that's turning against this whole policy of utilizing drones? I mean, it's very clear that the aerospace industry and the military-industrial complex and pretty much all of Washington is very much very pro-drone, But there is, just based on some of the people who showed up at the drone summit, some of the voices that were there, it looks to me like there is a growing voice of people who are in opposition to this.
Well, that's right. You know, I just did a book called The Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, and it was very exciting in the last two chapters to be able to look at the resistance, and that spans the examples of people who are protesting outside Air Force bases in the United States where the drone pilots are being trained or where the drones are actually being operated, to people who are using the court system to try to get some redress for drone victims, to folks who are trying to get an international convention to ban the use of drones for the lethal killing, modeled after conventions that have gone into effect related to landmines and cluster bombs. And so there's a lot of exciting work being done by people who say, look, drones are a piece of technology that can be used for good. They can be used to fight forest fires. They can be used by environmentalists out on the high seas who want to find illegal whaling ships. There's all kinds of good ways to use drones. But drones used for killing is a misuse of the drones, and we should have international regulations that ban that.
And I want to bring everybody up to speed who's listening to this or may have just tuned in. You're listening to Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio, and I'm your host, Daniel Kerbine, and I'm talking to Medea Benjamin, who is the author of Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, and we were just talking here about the book and also about the whole issue of the proliferation of unmanned killer drones and what they call collateral damage, the deaths of civilians and the huge number of civilian deaths that happen in addition to whatever the targeted killing was. The book has just come out, and we were just talking about the last chapter of it, the opposition to drones goes global. But there's some other chapters as we go into the introduction, and there's just amazing facts here that I had no idea of how much money is being spent on them, how the technology of the recent years that has made it possible for them to do the kinds of various things that they do. Mostly what they're hired out to do is spy and to kill and shoot missiles. But it's an amazing growth market. Where can people get the book right now, Medea Benjamin?
Well, they can get the book online at codepink.org. The pub date is actually May 21st, and at that time it'll be available on Amazon. But in the meantime, it's codepink.org. And yes, we look at it as a growth market, and one of the places that we will be seeing more and more drones is right here in the United States. Right now, there are restrictions on the use of drones here because of safety issues by the Federal Aviation Administration. But the drone manufacturers and their allies in Congress have just pushed through legislation that will force our airspace to be open to drones by 2015. So we will potentially see tens of thousands of drones. And unfortunately, I think most of them will be operated by Homeland Security, by the Border Patrol, and by police departments, and might very well be used to surveil all kinds of people, including peaceful protesters here in the United States, including immigrants, including people in the Muslim community. So we're trying to gather people together to influence how these new regulations are being written and try to make sure that our safety and privacy concerns are addressed when the airspace is opened up to drones at home.
Well, there definitely are some issues around that. And some of the things that you described, some of the capabilities of surveillance is just remarkable. It's spectacular as far as what one might think. There are even large drones that can capture surveillance images of entire cities and track the comings and goings of many, many people at the same time. It's quite a phenomenal technology.
Well, that's right. And drones come in sizes from an insect up to a commercial airliner. And the smaller drones can be used to go right outside your window and look in through the window at what's going on inside your home. The larger drones up in the air, are, some of the technology is so precise that they can read a license plate from tens of thousands of feet up in the air. So there is tremendous potential for misuse of the drones and for the invasion of privacy, just like the U.S. is already invading the privacy in other sovereign nations by using drones to spy on them.
One of the things in the foreword to the book, Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, by Medea Benjamin, who I'm speaking with here on Shift Shapers, Paul Rivers Radio, one of the comments out of this foreword by Barbara Ehrenreich, who's the author of Nickel and Dimed and a number of other books of her own, one of Benjamin's most disturbing revelations has to do with the explosive expansion of the drone industry in just the last few years to the point where 50 nations now possess the devices. Drone warfare sketches out the nightmare possibilities posed by this insane proliferation. We can not only expect drones to fall into the hands of rogue nations or terrorist groups, we should brace ourselves too for the domestic use of surveillance drones and even armed drones at the Mexican border and possibly against American civilian protesters. That's pretty chilling. And in fact, this expands on the comment that you just made about protecting our rights, protecting our civil liberties, and really making a stand about that.
Well, yes. And the drones that are being sold experimentally right now to police departments are being sold on the grounds that these are just for surveillance, but the manufacturers themselves admit that these drones are designed to be weaponized, and they talk about the weapons being less than lethal. But when the head of the FBI was asked about the possibility of killing Americans here at home with drones, he certainly did not deny that. In fact, he told Congress that he would have to get back to him about that, which in itself is pretty chilling to know that you might have to get a warrant to wiretap somebody, but it may be okay just to drop a missile on them here at home.
It is a very chilling thought, and it is the kind of thing where it's up to us to protect our rights. And I do see that Code Pink has been on the forefront of actually making public statements. In fact, I saw that at one of the, it was on C-SPAN, where you yourself, Medea Benjamin, had come forward during a talk and you were escorted out, but you were talking about that collateral damage and the damage that the drones do to civilians and the deaths. So can you tell us a little bit about what Code Pink is doing on the forefront of this?
Well, yes, you're referring to when the counterterrorism expert for Barack Obama, John Brennan, was speaking recently for the first time addressing this issue of drones. And you have to recognize we've been using them in places we're not at war since 2002, and yet the administration has not talked about it. So when he was talking about Al-Qaeda killing innocent civilians, which is true, I got up and said, what about all the innocent civilians that we're killing? And why are you lying to the American people about that? Because he said that there are no civilians being killed by our drones. And yes, I was escorted out of the room, but that video has so far about 160,000 hits on it, mostly coming from people in Pakistan who are saying, thank you, thank you.
Amazing.
We didn't know any Americans cared about our lives. So it's important to protest this because we have a reputation overseas, and especially in places like Pakistan, a very, very populated country, where the U.S. has a reputation as killing Muslims and not caring about the lives of their children, their wives, their families.
And, you know, Pakistan, it can be a volatile country, and it is a nuclear-armed country. It's really strange to be reading all these accounts of violating Pakistani airspace and violating their borders and killing their citizens when they're a lot of times they have been allied with the United States on a number of issues.
Well, that's right. And where the government keeps telling the American government, please don't use your drone strikes here because they are counterproductive. They're killing a lot of innocent people, and they're also causing more people to join the terrorists, and they are creating more and more anti-American sentiment. But our government isn't listening. It's continuing the drone strikes and expanding the number of drone strikes in Pakistan, not in Yemen as well. So it's very disturbing to see this trend, and that's why we organized the Drone Summit. That's why I did the book. And I'm out on a speaking tour now going around the country to try to get more people involved in this issue so that we can pressure the government to stop the drone attacks.
Yes, that is Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control is the new book about to come out by Medea Benjamin, who is on the phone here on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. I do want to mention here on the in the Drone Summit, one of the things that you you held a summit, you hosted it. It was a number of people evidently that put that together, and particularly Code Pink and legal advocacy organizations, Reprieve, Center for Constitutional Rights, hosted this together. It was last weekend before last, April 28th, and this was in Washington, D.C. Can you tell us, well, one of the things that impressed me was the number of different kinds of people with different sorts of attitudes about drones, that maybe they could be beneficial, maybe they're neutral, maybe even the drone strikes are neutral. So there are a lot of people with different viewpoints on the whole area of what drones are doing and what they might be able to do. So how was that? How was that conference?
It was fabulous. Yeah, it was wonderful, and we were very excited to get different kinds of people in the room to learn from each other. We also had people in the room who were experts on the issues of drones being used in the border, drones being used by police departments in the United States, we had people that were from Yemen and Pakistan and Somalia who told us about the impact that in their countries, and we had scientists who are on the forefront of drone technology, who are telling us, if you're worried about what we have now, you should be really terrified of what is in the works, because right now, at least, there is what they call a human in the loop. But what is being researched are drones that would be totally automated. They would be pre-programmed, would be up in the skies, and they would be doing their own fighting based on their pre-programming without anybody directing them. They could call in other drones and have a swarm. And these group of scientists are saying, we need the international community to come together and say no before this autonomous drones are being deployed.
That's quite another chilling picture. I'm going to come up with another adjective to describe this before we're finished. Yes, it is quite ominous. There we go. That's another one. And one of the things, too, about the book, Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, and then I'm going to go over to the cost of all this because it's kind of an interesting little veil there. But Barbara Ehrenreich's foreword to the book, Drone Warfare, she says, in anyone else's hands, this could be a deeply depressing book. Fortunately, though, Medea Benjamin is not just an ace reporter. She's one of the world's leading anti-war activists. Drone Warfare ends with a story of the global anti-drone movement in which she has played a central role. At the end of this book, you will be inspired, and you'll know exactly how to get involved. So that is definitely an endorsement from Barbara Ehrenreich. And one of the things that I got from looking through the book is the tremendous cost. Because, you know, we think model airplanes, they're really cheap, they're inexpensive, a couple of robotics, there's no pilot, they're way cheaper than any other way of going, they're small, they're whatever, you know. So when we are looking at the cost involved, we think of it as, well, it's just little model airplanes. How could they possibly be a cost problem? So what I'm finding out from your book is that there are tremendous costs there that we don't even see, and they're covered under different pieces of the budget too. So do you want to expand a little bit on that?
Well, yes. While the drone itself might be relatively cheap, like maybe $10 million for one of the bigger ones, the cost of having them in the air, the cost per hour is several thousand dollars. The cost of each Hellfire missile is $75,000, and they use several of them at a time. And then there's another cost, which is all of the personnel. It's counterintuitive, perhaps, because you think, oh, it doesn't have a pilot. Well, it needs more people than a piloted plane to launch it, to operate it in the air, to maintain it, and then also to go through the endless hours of data that is being downloaded by these drones, because the cameras are going on constantly. So it's estimated that the cost is actually greater. Oh, there's another cost I didn't mention, which is these things crash all the time. So you're constantly having to replace them. And then, of course, there's the cost of just keeping warfare going, and what does that do in terms of our own safety and the amount of money that just keeps being allocated to the Pentagon. So, yes, hidden costs, and in general, I would say, even when it's being used at the border, when you look at how many immigrants are caught by the drones and returned back home, or how many tons of marijuana are confiscated, the numbers are quite small, and even there it's hard to justify the cost of the drones.
It's quite an amazing thing, and that money has to come from somewhere. So when we're looking at a government budget that is running into deficits constantly, it just seems as though that's another issue that has something to be said for it, and there are a lot of veils over that. It's a lot that is not being said. We're kind of left with this impression that these things are cheap, and it's one of the great things about your book and conferences like the drone conference of a couple of weekends ago is that you start exploring things like that.
Well, that's right. I think it's time for people to recognize that this secret program is something that we have to learn more about. We have to show the government we care about it. When I've gone to meetings at the State Department, they've said, well, we never hear anybody complain about this. Well, one, it's hard to have people complain about it when they don't know it's happening. So our job is to educate people, and then once we've educated them, to plug them into things that they can do. We've created a website called droneswatch.org, where people can go to get, we'll be constantly updating that with the latest information and with campaign ideas of how to get involved.
That is terrific. So plenty of information, lots of ways to get educated, and also ways of taking action. I want to thank you, Medea Benjamin, for joining us here on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. Medea Benjamin is author of the book Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, which is coming out. It can be pre-ordered through Code Pink. It's CodePink.org?
That's right, CodePink.org, yes.
And it looks as though it's available as an Amazon Kindle as well.
Ah, good. And it'll be available through the bookstores very soon, in the coming weeks.
And also, for those of you who do not know, Medea Benjamin is founder of Code Pink and also co-founder of Global Exchange, which also has hosted the
they're called the Green Festivals.
The Green Festivals, got it. Okay. Yeah, not the New Living
Festival. And I will be doing a tour throughout California from June 15th to the end of June. And if you're interested in going to see me anyplace or having me come to your community, you can get that information off the Code Pink website.
Great. And Medea Benjamin, thank you very much for joining us here on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on. I enjoyed talking to you.